Hello, and welcome to How Do You Feel, the show that's dedicated to your health and wellness and is sponsored by the Peoria City County Health Department. I'm your host, Lorene King, and today I am visiting with Daryl Carson, who is the manager and education community volunteer. He's a manager of all of that.
That's right.
Education and community volunteer. That's right. And typically we're talking about Alzheimer's, but guess what? Today, Daryl's going to be talking about brain health. That's a topic we don't hear about very often. So when we think about brain health, what factors play a role in good brain health?
Yeah, well, we're still going to talk about Alzheimer's because this is about what can I do to reduce my risk from getting that terrible disease.
We want
to talk about that. And that's brain health.
Okay.
It's all the same, but it really add another layer. We know we need to be healthy. We go to the doctor. They say eat right, exercise, take care of your health, avoid these diseases. Well, here's another disease we're going to help you avoid. It's the disease that most of us are very afraid of. It's that dementia. It's that Alzheimer's disease.
Okay. So actually what you're telling our audience is that if your brain is not healthy, you're more susceptible to catching Alzheimer's?
Yeah, that's what do you want to do to reduce your risk? Yeah, you want to reduce those risk factors.
Okay, so I want to have a healthy brain. And we all know how essential the brain is as a key component of the human body.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so to start off, like, what would you tell individuals just to start off when they're talking about brain health?
Well, to start off, you know, let's remember that our brain is really important.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, it consumes more energy than any other organ that we have.
I did not know that.
Every time your heart beats, about 25% of that blood goes just to your brain. It has a vast network of veins and arteries to get that blood everywhere in your brain. And so it's important to take care of it, and it's where everything happens. It's where all of our automatic systems in our body just flow from what our brain tells it to do, and even who we feel like we are, and our emotions, and our thinking, and even I'm sitting here and I'm talking with my hands, waving my hands around as I talk. It's all just my brain does it all. So it's so important to take care of that brain, and sometimes we forget about the things that has just happened automatically.
Now, you said the brain consumes a lot of energy. So my body could be consuming a lot of energy. And I don't think about the brain consuming energy.
That's why you need to sleep. Your brain needs to take a break.
Okay.
And it never stops, right? It still keeps going. But that allows your whole body to rest and rejuvenate. But it allows your brain to rest as well. So there are a lot of components to keep in mind. And so when we talk about brain health and when we talk about reducing your risk for dementia, and it's important to remember that there are so many things that go into causing a dementia. It's not a really clean and simple.
Mm-hmm.
There's many factors.
Cut.
Yeah, not clean cut. There are a lot of things that play into that, which is why, you know, there are a lot of things that contribute to it. So if you have diabetes in midlife, that increases your risks. If you have heart disease, that increases your risks. If you have high blood pressure, that increases your risks. You know, and for a lot of people, they're already predisposed to have those kind of conditions, which means you're going to have a higher risk factor. So the African American community, twice as likely to develop dementia. Hispanic American community, about 1.5 times as likely. But they're also at higher risk for all those other things too. So a lot of this, what we talk about, is review for people. It's a reminder saying these things are important as well.
So you've got to watch what you put into your body.
Yep.
Now, when you said that the risk is higher for African Americans and Hispanics than for Caucasians, does that have a lot to do with factors other than the socioeconomic background?
Or? Yeah, socioeconomic does play into it. We know that. But when those same groups were also at a higher risk for diabetes and heart disease and high blood pressure, then we know that there are other things as well. You know, so some of it is just maybe hereditary disposition or all those other things that play into those diseases also play into risk factor for Alzheimer's or dementia. Mm-hmm. But so there are things we can control and there are things we can't control. So if you have a genetic disposition, which does exist, you know, so there's a certain gene that if you have this gene combination, you may be twice as likely, possibly, right, of getting it. Or if you have a family history with parents having it, you're going to have a greater likelihood of getting it. So those things you can't control. There are things we can't control. We can't control where we were born or how we grew up, and those influence us. They influence our habits and our ability to be able to get access to things we need. But it's all about what can I control? And so there are these few areas that we talk about when we talk about what can you control. Well, you can do things to control your sleep and getting quality sleep. That influences your brain health. Quitting smoking if you smoke, that influences brain health. Doing things to take care of your mental health. There's a lot of information out there, but your mental health is really important. Physical activity. Doing what can I do to increase my physical activity? Balanced nutrition, eating right. You know, we all have, you know, all of these choices I have, what can I do to make the best choice that I can? Keeping your brain sharp, and keeping your cognitive engagement. Those are big words, but just doing things to challenge your thinking and to keep your brain sharp. And then social engagement, staying connected with people and doing things with people is good for your brain. So those, we can talk about each one of those more in depth, but that's overall, those are the things we look at when we look at what can you do to keep your brain healthy.
Now, you named a lot of things.
Oh, yeah.
And you didn't name food.
That was buried in that wonderful little phrase called balanced nutrition.
Okay.
Eating right. So, and for all of these things, I just do want to say, we're going to cover a lot of information. And when I do this program for people, they have handouts and things they can take with them. We have an 800 helpline that even right now, before we do anything else, they can take a minute. They can call this 800 helpline. They can say, please send me some information on how to take care of my brain. It's 1-800-272-3900. That is our 24/7 helpline. Anything related to dementia, caregiving, but also what can I do to reduce my risk? What can I do to take care of my brain? 800-272-3900. They'll send you information that'll help you, everyone remember everything we're about to talk about.
So you can refer back to it in case when the broadcast is over.
Yeah.
So you can call that and they'll send it out to you free.
Yeah. So, you know, we got to talk about several things. You want to just start diving into some of these details?
Yes. You know, I'm really curious about, I know that when you sleep that it lets your body, you know, rebuild cells and that kind of thing. But somehow my brain never focused on the brain, which means that it's not quite up to par.
Yeah. The quality sleep is so important, you know, and we know that it helps us to rest. We know it helps us to recharge and it helps us maintain healthy blood pressure when that influences your brain. So sometimes inadequate sleep, like sleep apnea, okay? Mm. So if anyone snores really bad, that can really be a sign of sleep apnea. And sleep apnea, which is something I have, and I got a CPAP machine that helps me just, it's when you stop breathing for a lot while you sleep, and you stop, and then you breathe some more. And that inconsistent oxygen flow is not good for, you don't get good sleep, and that's not good for your brain. So that's something that a doctor can help you with.
It's not only interrupting your sleep, but interrupting, you know, the sleep of your partner.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, everyone, they say you should aim to get at least 6 hours of sleep a night. No less than 6 hours of sleep a night.
I agree with that number.
But, you know, up to eight is always good, but 6 to 8, you want to shoot for those. That's really important. So some things to think about, there's sleep habits. So do you get enough sleep? Is it really good sleep, or are you really get interrupted sleep a lot as you go?
Is it restless?
Yeah. What kind of things around you help you sleep better? So, you know, is it a dark room? You know, take something, throw it over the window so it stays darker longer. what can you do around you? Can you make sure that door is shut? Or what can you do with your environment?
You can turn off the cell phone too.
Yeah, absolutely. So minimizing looking at a cell phone for at least a couple of hours before you go to bed helps you have better sleep, because the blue light on the screen of the phone is a signal to your brain to sort of wake up. It's not so, and then a lot of people have it right at their bedside. Mm-hmm. And the first thing they do when they wake up is to grab the phone and look at it. Mm-hmm. So it's just put it maybe across the room, so it's not the first thing you do when you wake up, you know, especially if you need to have it for an alarm or something. But what you do with electronics can help you make sure you take that time before you go to bed to rest and slowly unwind your brain so you can relax and go to sleep better. Different things you can do to help have better quality sleep.
Is it good to have a schedule? Or can you just get 6 hours? Say if you go to bed 2 hours later, as long as you get 6 hours, are you okay? Or
I think you want to have that good solid 6 hours of uninterrupted sleep.
Okay.
Allows your body to go into the good sleep cycles and go into the deep sleep and then come out of it. So you get good quality sleep. If you have a lot of interrupted sleep, then that interruption doesn't allow you to get that deeper, good quality sleep that you need. So, you know, what can you do to help control the temperature in your room? Mm. Sometimes, like, if you can have a fan that you can plug in, that might make it cooler, which can be easier to sleep if it's cooler, mm-hmm. but also give you that nice white noise to drown out any of the other noises going on around you to help you can sleep better. Okay. Maybe, like, having a nightlight so you can see, but having put something up against the windows to really make it dark. I lived in Alaska for many years, and that's the land of the midnight sun in the summertime. So we had to put things up because the sun never went down in the summer. Mm-hmm. So it really makes a difference how much light comes in and it helps you sleep. So those are some things that you can do as well. And then if you need to, like, well, what are the routines going on in the house? Can you change your routine when you sleep? Or with other people in the house, what can you do to help each other get good night's sleep? So those are some things you can do about sleep.
And then if you don't do those things, like, what are some of the very first symptoms that will let you know that you're not getting enough sleep?
Well, are you waking up feeling like you didn't sleep? Mm-hmm. And for me, when I had that was, I really started to know there was a problem. I would wake up exhausted. Mm-hmm. And so that can be an indication. And on all these things, you know, going to your doctor regularly, being honest with your doctor about how you're feeling and what's going on can help this. And so that's just a good habit to get into, is seeing your doctor on a regular basis.
Now, some of the things you talked about, if you go to bed early and you're just waking up all during the night, it's doing more damage, right?
Yeah, you want to try to avoid that. And then a doctor can help you understand what's going on with that.
But you can control it without medicine, perhaps?
I think that's something to talk to your doctor about, you know, and there's a lot of different things out there that people talk about different ways. So it's an area to get some good research on, too, to look into. Go to your library. Talk to a librarian. You know, you use the good old Dr. Google.
Oh, yes.
But talk to your regular doctor, because there's just different things, you know. And then of course, you know, diet also then can play into how well you sleep too. So all these things overlap, for sure.
Yeah. Now, Darryl, before you go on, for those listeners who may have just joined us, I want you to know that you're listening to WPNB 106.3 on your FM dial. And the show is How Do You Feel? And it's sponsored by the Peoria City County Health Department. I'm meeting today with Darryl Carson, who is the manager of education and community volunteers for the Alzheimer's Association. So he's talking about how we can achieve and maintain brain health, one of the most essential parts of our body ever, the human body. You're talking about maintaining good blood flow, maintaining a good rest period at night when you go to sleep, so it get a chance to rest and rejuvenate itself. You talked about eating nutritious foods and exercising.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Things that we know, but it's important to remember that it affects your mind as well.
We need to be reminded, yes. Yeah.
So we talked about sleep. I'm not going to go into depth with quitting smoking. There's so much about that. I think in our culture, we've been told that smoking is bad for you. Mm-hmm. And the vaping. So just know that that affects your brain health as
well. The vaping too? I mean, I don't vape, but I'm just wondering. The vaping affects it too?
You know what? I might
adversely.
I'm going to have to ask Gary to edit that out. I think I might have misspoke. I don't know for sure. I don't have data on the vaping part. Okay. I just am so used to hearing that all the time. So okay. Let's just.
Okay, Gary, we'll take that out.
I'm sorry, Gary. I'm going to make you work for your money today. So let me back up to talking about from this point. So we talked about getting good quality sleep mm-hmm. and how that's important to your mental health. Mm-hmm. The next thing we always tell people is that quitting smoking is really important for keeping your brain healthy. And I'm not going to go into detail on that for the sake of time, because I think everyone understands that quitting smoking is good for your health. And just know it's also really good for your brain health to quit smoking.
Okay. I don't think I ever heard anybody say, smoking is good for you. I don't I ever heard that.
No. But still, it's a habit, and just give you another reason to want to break that habit. Another thing with taking care of your brain is your mental health.
Mm.
And that really revolves around your emotions and your stress level. So doing things for yourself. So it's not selfish to take care of yourself. Now, we tell this all the time to those who are caregivers of someone with dementia. Mm-hmm. That is an overwhelming job, and it demands all of your time, and it's really hard, and you feel selfish taking care of yourself. So just take that out of your mind right now. It is good to take care of yourself and to take care of your mental health and make sure that you're emotionally feeling good. And so, you know, there's like stress. So how much do you have on your plate, and how much are you dealing with? Just watch your stress levels. You know, do you have any symptoms for anxiety or depression? So, and feel free to talk to your doctor about those things. They're there for that part as well. How are you feeling physically and mentally with them? So some things you want to do is taking time for yourself. That's just so important. If you have a full schedule, realize that even a few minutes to stop and to purposely do something for yourself can make all the difference in the world. You know, if you're running from one thing to another, stop in the car or before you get off the bus, before you go into where you're going, and just take a few really good deep breaths. I mean, good deep breaths. You know, that helps to clear your emotions as well. Or take a few moments to do something like when you go home, get a good book that you enjoy and read that good book, even if it's for 10 minutes.
Okay.
What are other things that you can do that's good for yourself? Take a good relaxing bath.
Okay.
You know, or listen to some music that you enjoy. So it's just take, even the small little things, you can take small steps to help reduce your stress. Okay. Taking a nap. Now, you want good quality sleep, but you know, take a nap is good for you too, even if you got good sleep. Take a little short nap. That can help. Taking a little of your favorite beverage, a little tea or something during the day. Going for a small walk. That's exercise, but it's also just a simple walk can help you reduce your stress and take care of yourself.
Because it's stimulating the blood flow.
Yeah.
And the brain needs a lot of blood.
And then have things that you enjoy doing that you do for yourself. You want to dance, even if nobody's watching.
Right.
Just dance around when no one's watching, and you feel better.
Sing when nobody's listening.
And sing. or make art, or, you know, cooking or baking. And you can talk about how you can do that healthily. But all the different things you can do. And laughing. Laughing is so important. And taking those few minutes. That's one good thing about some of these social medias.
Yes.
You can get sucked into it. But if you can just take a few moments, and if you have a place where you can always go to get something to make you laugh,
yes,
laughing is so good for you.
Okay.
So those are just a few things, but just really watch your mental health. That's really important, okay. And your emotions and how you're feeling. And then, of course, you know, physical activity is so vital to our overall health. And they say if there's only one thing you can do, find a way to increase your physical activity. And as we get older, sometimes I realize this, I think I can do more than my body is able to do now.
Mm-hmm.
Or I haven't been doing as much exercise in the last few years as I should, especially coming out of COVID. So I think, oh, I'm going to go to the gym, and I try to do way more than I should, and then my body, I pay for it later.
It's best to ease into it.
Ease into it. Talk to your doctor about it. Just do things, you know, and anything, even if it's a small thing, and pick something you enjoy. Because if you don't enjoy it, you're not going to keep up on it.
Yes, and pick somebody that you enjoy being with, too.
And that adds the social. If you can bring someone along with you, that makes it so much more fun. Mm-hmm. So just getting that oxygen flowing better. That's good for your heart, but getting more oxygen is good for your brain. You want to have regular exercise that's a little bit more on the vigorous side to get the heart pumping and the blood flowing. Even something as walking, doing good brisk walking and strength training is good as well. But there isn't one single recipe. Everyone's different. But just know that overall health, getting that movement going, getting that blood flowing is really good. So, I mean, start small and incorporate it in your everyday routine. Walk around your neighborhood, okay? Take the stairs more often if you can handle the stairs.
And also, Brad, walk around in your house while you're watching television or a commercial or something. Walk around.
If you have the time, get off the bus stop one stop earlier and just walk those few extra blocks. You know, or if you're got the car and you're at the grocery store, park at the end of the parking lot and just do a little more walking.
Right. If you're not in a hurry to get someplace, then you can take those extra minutes and get that exercise in.
Yeah, absolutely. So a lot of different things you can do with the exercise. And again, there's a lot of resources out there to give us good ideas. Eating healthy is another thing, which we hear so much about. So I don't think I need to go into a whole lot of detail, except to say that for our brains, there are two diets that have been studied directly on how they affect your brain health and memory and reducing risks for dementia. Mm-hmm. It's called the Mediterranean diet. People have heard that.
I knew you were going to say that.
Or there's a DASH diet. Okay. Dietary approach to stopping hypertension. If you have high blood pressure, it's the diet your doctor most likely to put you on.
Okay.
Now, it's not to say that other dietary approaches aren't beneficial. Mm-hmm. It's just these are the two that we've really studied. And from that, there are a few key things to keep in mind that we know will be helpful. You want to include having healthier oils, healthy fats. So oils from vegetable, like olive oil, not seed oil.
Avocado oil.
Coconut oil is really high in fats. You want to watch that for your cholesterol, but that's still good. Healthy fat is good for your brain. Nuts are good for have that healthy fat. Fish has that healthy fat. But you stay away from the fried foods and the unhealthy fat. You want whole grains. The highly processed grain that we know is not good for your mental health. With it, in the American, so all of these things is basically the opposite of the standard American diet. We really have a lot of those things that aren't so good for us in there. So focus on what you can do. What can I, if it's a lot you can't do, that I understand that, but what
don't
can
you
do?
Don't let that consume you.
Don't let that consume you. What's one thing I can do? Where can I find and how can I get some fresh vegetables or some fresh fruit? Even if it's not as often, but just some, and start to have those, okay? Or even if it's like canned vegetables or frozen vegetables, you know, where can I just get those better vegetables? Try to have fish a couple days a week, okay? Instead of the desserts, try some fresh fruit. Or even if it's a canned fruit, but try not to find it within, like, in water or in,
right.
not in the heavy syrup.
Right.
Definitely not the heavy syrup.
Right.
But just what can you do to try to incorporate these things into your diet?
I know sometimes people eat salads thinking they'll be eating healthy, and then they get those fattening salad dressings and ruin the whole thing.
Yeah, you got to be mindful of that. Reading the label is a big deal because there are a lot of things like the sugars. You want to cut the sugars back, of course. But there are a lot of different things that are sugar that doesn't just say sugar. You know, fructose, glucose, high fructose corn syrup, all of those things are all sugar. And so you look on the back of the label and you look for the part that says carbohydrates, and underneath that it will say added sugar. And how many grams. And that is a really good quick way to look at a label to see, is there any sugar hiding in this thing?
Okay.
How much added sugar in grams is it versus like the protein or the serving size, right? And so that's a great quick way to do that.
And you know, you're absolutely right, because I've been at the store and picked up something and turn it over and look at the caloric content and the breakdown, and I'm like, can't get that, and put it back.
Yeah. So that's an important thing. So then two more things.
Okay.
We're talking about cognitive stimulation and social engagement. So cognitive stimulation, make your brain work. You know, do something that really makes you think.
Like a puzzle.
And it's a puzzle. The great thing about this is there are so many free ways to do this. Mm-hmm. Now, we live in a society that likes to sell you stuff. And so buy this app, get this thing, download this to strengthen your brain. A lot of times those have not been really reviewed. And, you know, so you can go with the good old tried and true things. Go to the library, find a subject you're interested in, and grab a book and read about it. Find a subject you're passionate about. Find the author who disagrees with you, who's an expert, who isn't like, they're not stupid, and they're really challenging, and read the opposing view from someone who's smart and really make yourself think. Do a book club. That's social as well. Now you got to talk about this book with people who have a different opinion and do it and get along.
Yes.
That's challenging.
And so you're also exercising your cognitive skills as well.
Absolutely.
I remember a class I had at Bradley. And it was taught by an attorney who had argued before the Supreme Court and had worked for CAT. And so he challenged us to take the perspective that was the opposite of what we believed.
Yeah.
So that we could be better at it.
Yep.
And think.
That makes a big difference.
Yes.
But still, the normal things like if you like crossword puzzles, take the really challenging ones. If you any game you do, make it more challenging. That's the key. The key is to stretch your thinking, make it a little uncomfortable. You have to work at it.
Okay.
Anything like that is good. So, and then the last thing is social engagement, staying connected with people and doing things with people, having those relationships. And I think we all know that it's challenging to have relationships with people.
And humans are social beings. You always function better if you're doing it in conjunction with someone, you know, or as a group. Didn't have to be just you and one other person. It could be a group. I was at a Proctor Place a couple of days ago, and I was asking the people, I said, you know, share one of your aha moments. And one of the ladies was saying they were preparing for this. It's called New to You, where the people would exchange goods that they had. It's new to them, even though it's not new. And
That's
she said
great.
Everybody was working together so well, you know, that was just an aha moment. So if you're doing working well with someone, that's part of the social skills you're talking about that can also contribute to good brain health.
Absolutely. And volunteering. There are so many places that really need help people volunteering. Volunteering can be a great way to challenge your thinking, to be more social, to get out and go and do things, go to different places. Mm-hmm. The Alzheimer's Association, we're always looking for volunteers. Shameless plug.
Yes, and you're volunteering. You and I both are volunteering right now.
Yeah.
And I always read that, you know, if you feel a little down or depressed, if you go do something for somebody else, then that will help you be happier.
Absolutely. And there are opportunities to do that everywhere. It doesn't matter who you are or what your situation is. There's always someone you can reach out and give a hand to. So just find ways to do that and stay connected with people. And these things all together help you have a healthy, happy brain.
Thank you so much, Daryl.
And then again, 1-800-272-3900. That's our 24/7 helpline. You can get information on everything I just said.
Wow.
And then you can maybe even get more information. And those people you can talk to are wonderful, friendly, and can help get you all the information that you need.
Okay. Well, thank you so very much for coming here and reminding us that our brain is a huge part of our body, the system that we work in, that needs to be taken care of. And this really means taking care of yourself and don't feel guilty when you do it.
Absolutely.
I just want to remind our listeners, you've been listening to How Do You Feel? The show that's dedicated to your health and wellness and is sponsored by the Peoria City County Health Department. This show airs at 11 a.m. on Saturday. It repeats at 7:30 p.m. on Sunday. And if you missed the broadcast, you can hear it later on the WPNV website podcast page. Simply go to WPNV.org and look for podcasts. And the one you want to select is How Do You Feel? So thanks again to Daryl for taking time out of his busy schedule. He's volunteering when he is trying to recruit volunteers. And so to our listening audience, I hope you join us again next week.
Now is always the right time.